You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's poppin'? It's your boy, Armand, a.k.a. the Black Doc.
I thought you were going to say, like, the Young Hustler.
Oh, or... yeah, I got it. Yeah, a.k.a. Young Stack Gripper.
Oh.
A.k.a. Getting Them Checks, a.k.a. Mr. Total Request Live.
Mr. TRL.
Mr. TRL, I'm in the building. A.k.a. the Black Carson Daly. No, it's not, guys. It's just Armand. Welcome to Clock Radio Speakers. Follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. The guy you heard laughing and joking in the background with me, that's Doc. Where can they follow you at?
What's going on? It's Doc, a.k.a. the White Big Tigger. You can follow me on... I'm sorry.
I thought you were going to say, like, the White Joe Claire, like, but that might be over the head of some of the audience.
These kids don't know about Joe Cleese.
Oh, man, Joe Cleese.
And I'm old. What's going on, everybody? You can follow me on Twitter at Doc_Beats, S not a Z. Go to clockradiospeakers.com for all things related to the show. SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes... Wherever you're at, we're at. That's the goal. Except for Tinder and LinkedIn.
Nah.
MySpace.
Clock Radio Speakers Tinder would be kind of interesting. Like
we just put up album covers. We make new art, new accounts every time and see if people swipe left or right.
I don't know. Some girls are attracted to like guys with vast music knowledge. So I'm like, I wonder if we could like just kind of man it together and just see like what type of chicks we could pull solely based off of music knowledge. Like there would be no flirting, no nothing. It would just be like,
but we have to do it together. It's like the episode of Seinfeld where Jerry can't handle his girlfriend, so he gets George to be his full-time assistant.
I'm saying like I think Shorty might be down if you say like, yo, I got Cannabis's third album, son, like Poet, what was it? Poet Laureate, was that what it was?
Laureate? Poet Laureate.
Yeah. Oh, you had that?
No, I just know how to say Laureate.
Oh, sorry, I don't. Sorry. Excuse me, Mr. Political Science degree. See True Hollywood Stories, you got that one?
What was the second one? Was it
2000 BC?
That 2000 BC.
That one I had. That one was dope. It aged horribly, but it was dope when it came out.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I downloaded it in 128 and then burned it to a CD, which is probably like half readable at this point. But
oh, man. Shout out to Memorex, Blink CD gang. They're like dirt cheap now.
I'm trying to think why I would even burn a CD now.
Some people don't have, they don't have the stuff in their car.
Oh, man.
They don't have an aux cords, a Bluetooth or anything like that. Those are first world luxuries, son.
I mean,
shout out to the CD player, son. Yo, shout out to the fact that I think we talked about this on the show, like you could not leave on a Friday night without burning a CD. I remember I don't know if you did this, but like, you know, on Friday nights, you know, IRC used to be popping. So there would be some. So like the Soul Room would have something, like something would come out, whether it was a Clue tape, somebody's album leaked, a G-Unit mixtape, something would come out on a Friday night or a Saturday night. And like, man, you really got me waiting in the house. The club is popping. You know what I'm saying? This house party is popping. But no, I'm waiting on G-Unit Radio 7 because it has a new Lloyd Banks freestyle that I want to hear. And we only had the radio rip of or had K-Slay screaming all over it. And we want like the full version or something like that.
There was some struggles.
Some struggles, but we got by.
So how you doing, man? How was your week?
It was cool, I think. It was cool. It's kind of in the cut, you know what I'm saying? I preached on Friday, so I was kind of like in this weird, I don't really want to be bothered space. But I'm back in the building, back on the map.
In the streets. Pretty soon you're going to be Snapchatting pictures of you in the studio working.
Oh man, yo, you know what? I had Snapchat, but I only had it with like, I had it with my homegirl. So like we would talk on it just like full, like, but I don't get how people follow you and you can like share stories and all that stuff. I don't know how it works. And I don't know if I want to know how it works. That's how I know I'm getting old. Like where I'm not hopping on the latest social media. Like, oh, there's a new way to communicate with the same people that I communicate with already. I'm on it.
See, I don't know. You at least got to go grab your username.
Yeah, I know you do that a lot.
Well, yeah. Which explains how I have a Pinterest account.
Pinterest is that wave. Pinterest is that fire. It's that piff. I'd be on Pinterest like, Pinterest, yeah. I'm like the only man on Pinterest. I don't know any other men on Pinterest. Like, all of my followers are women, and the only people that I follow are women and, like, clothing companies.
I was going to say, you got your scarf game?
Oh, my scarf game is immaculate. Absolutely. I've been doing that a lot on Instagram too. Like the last maybe 8 or 9 accounts I followed have been like how to tie your tie in 10 different ways and how to like wrap your scarf and all those like men's with style things. Nah, I'm not on Instagram being a creep. I'm trying to be, you know, knowledgeable.
You trying to stun on these haters?
Yeah, trying to.
It was so hard to say that. Stun on
them haters. It was right there. I don't blame you. How was your week, man? What's going on with you?
Everything's good, man. Life is good right now. Beautiful. Yeah, things are good.
Life is good. Life is good.
We got some music to talk about this week.
That's how you just ignored my Miguel hook. That's cool.
You know, I don't even like that song.
Nobody does.
Right. We got some music to talk about this week. We got some news and music to talk about this week.
This is sort of a catch-up episode because, you know, last week was a focused episode. We was focused, man.
We were underground, extra underground last week.
Yeah, we had the hoodie seasoning up. But now we back. Shiny Suits is back. You know what I'm saying?
Your man, Mr. Shiny Suit himself.
Yeah, I was saying, should we go ahead and start with Puff? I'm not calling him Diddy, but I don't know, it's weird. Like,
you call him by his government name, Puff Daddy.
First name Puff, last name Daddy. Mr. Daddy. That's just not gonna happen, no. Ever in life. But yeah, so what'd he do? What did P. Diddy run the city do?
Apparently, he knocked your boy Aubrey out.
Yeah, I've heard knocked out. I've heard slapped.
There was at least some sort of physical altercation.
I've heard gunned up and clapped quick.
Do we know why yet?
No. Originally, I heard it was over Cassie. Then it wasn't over Cassie. Then, you know, it was, you know, revenge for Chris Brown and all that. Like, nobody really knows.
If you're a grown man hitting somebody about Chris Brown, you should really reevaluate your life priorities.
I mean,
like, what decisions led you to 4 a.m. in a club in Miami hitting another man about Chris Brown?
Somebody, and I retweeted it. Like,
I saw that.
Yeah, it's 4:45 in the morning on a Sunday. Why is a grown man at the club? Does he have like the one drink in a 3-piece suit whispering to girls' ears that I'm old enough to be your daddy? You ever go to them clubs where the one old head would talk to every girl that was in there? You ever been in those clubs?
What about my life makes you think I'm in those clubs right now?
I just asked. I have. What you trying to say? I've been in those clubs.
I'm a married man.
No, back in the day, son. Not now. Like, have you been in there and witnessed that? I'm not saying have you been that guy. We wouldn't be doing this podcast if you... Like, hey, it's Doc. Just wondering if you want to move forward on that podcast we were talking about. Leaving another voicemail. Get back to as soon as you can. No, that would not happen. But yeah, the bigger question for me is, you know, they said Wayne and Birdman was in the club. They were on opposite sides of the club. Like, there was a lot of rap beef going on, man.
Apparently, it's beef season. I read somebody say online that. Apparently, it has to do with, of all things, the 0 to 100 beat, which sounds ridiculous.
What?
Like, that was originally for Puff, which would be hilarious.
And he's just now responding to it?
It's an online rumor. But, right, I'm relatively unimpressed by it. The whole notion. It's like, okay, so maybe Puff got liquored up, took a swing, called it a day.
I mean, this ain't the first time. Like, you know, he did the same thing to J. Cole a while back. Shoot. Shine in the club. Like, this ain't new. This ain't, you know what I'm saying? This ain't new.
You'd think he would just stay out of clubs at this point.
Of course not. That's not gonna happen. Puff Daddy out the clubs? Yeah, right.
Now, I mean, shouldn't he be like, I don't know, learning how to recite a Meek Mill verse or something? Like, I'm not...
welcome home, Meek.
Meek's home.
You sound like the beginning of a mixtape. It's just like, as soon as you press play, Meek's home. Burr, 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 burr. Then like some elaborate beat with the opera sample comes on and hey, a bunch of gunshots.
Like that Dipset opera beat, which was awful.
Yes. And then Yell raps. Yell raps. Something else. Speaking of Philly, do we need to say anything else about Meek Mill?
Did you want to say anything else about Drake and Puff?
Nah.
All right. And then so Meek Mill, so he's out.
He's out.
There was a project of some kind that seemed ready to come out before. So how fast is this move?
I'm hearing a mixtape. I'm hearing a mixtape for MLK Weekend.
Interesting.
I heard a mixtape for MLK Weekend. And
is that like a popular weekend to release a mixtape?
I thought Memorial Day was the most popular day to release a mixtape.
You think so? MLK Weekend. That sounds really random.
I don't know if I want to hear.
That is when like all the college kids move back into the dorms for the winter break, for spring semester. So, you know, that's definitely a Meek's audience.
I actually would prefer if I didn't hear anything from him until like the tape came out.
But there's going to be a freestyle or three. It's gonna be a remix. Yeah, a remix.
He'll get on a remix. It'll probably be like something off of a billionaire.
Yeah, I was just thinking. I wonder what one he would do.
Who a billionaire? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Because Elvis Presley Boulevard doesn't need anything.
Nah, that's already got a remix.
And that's not really.
Nah.
Coke like the 80s?
Nah, even though he could do something with that, but nah. That wouldn't be it. I'm pulling up the...
I bet you Neighborhood Drug Dealer might be it.
Yeah, I could hear him on that. Neighborhood Drug Dealer. I could hear him on Moving Bass, actually. But they're not gonna re-put that record out.
No, that was a swing and a miss.
Yeah, I'm agree with you. Neighborhood Drug Dealer. I could hear him on that.
Okay.
Yep. Get out of jail, and the first beat you rap on is on a song called Neighborhood Drug Dealer. Yep.
If he's got a parole officer, they're going to love it.
Absolutely.
So speaking of Philly.
Yeah, speaking of Philly.
You mean Cassidy.
Nah, hold on. Before we go Cass. Well wishes and prayers to Beanie Siegel.
Wow, yeah, Beanie.
Yeah, said he's not doing too good. Said he's on a respirator.
And it was, from what I heard, I mean, I don't know if it's true. I mean, what I heard, it was basically like, it was not even like weird beef involving him and somebody else. Like, it literally was just like an accident.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's what I heard too. So, I hope he pulls through, because I had just, like, literally the day before he got shot, there was a picture circulating around the internet with, like, the entire state property back together. Like, 19-year-old Armand just, like... shouted with glee. I brought my state property jacket back out, my state property jeans with the 15 pockets to hide all my drugs. I was ready. They had Oskino, Sparks, they had everybody. Petey Crack. But yeah, well wishes to Beanie Siegel, man. I hope he pulls through. So,
your
yeah,
man.
Yeah. Barry Adrian Reese.
Bars.
Bars. Cassidy.
The Hustler. You say
Cassidy
like that, that's the first thing I can think of.
The Hustler. Hey, that's good branding.
Right.
Right.
And now I have in my head is Hotel.
Oh, my God. I have, what's the first Cassidy song I think of?
I'm a Hustler?
Nah, I think of him doing a dance, yeah.
Drinking Two-Step?
Oh. I got my. Now, drink. I'm thinking early cast. So, like, the General remix.
Oh, that was awful.
Aim for the Head.
I don't know if I remember that one.
Aim for the head. If you see him, go get him. No. Okay. I don't remember Cassidy. I just remember like 25-minute freestyles.
So how did he end up battling?
All right. So basically...
Yeah, for the people who don't really pay attention to the battle like world, give them like the 90-second synopsis here.
Okay. First off, before I give the 90-second synopsis, if you want to talk battle rap with me on Twitter, please do, because... There's like four of us. So please join in on the conversation. If you are a battle rap nerd, holler at me at Armand Wake Up, because I love, like, that's literally all I watch is battle rap. So there is an organization out west called Fresh Coast. They are kind of the derivative of Grind Time. Some people may have heard of that. The leader or organizer named Lush One, he linked up with this billionaire name. I think his name is like David Aoki or something like that. Put up a lot of bread. The rumor is that Cassidy got paid $250,000 to battle two times. I've heard that that's not true. But I have heard that he did get a significant amount of money to battle twice. The first battle was at a pay-per-view this weekend out west, and he faced a guy named Disaster. Disaster is most popular for punching another battle rapper named Math Hoffa in the face a few months ago. It was the second funniest battle I've ever seen in my life. The initial one. It was hilarious. It was unorganized. It was just, buffoonery was afoot. It's just hard to describe. So if you see the first one, it's probably about a 20-minute video. It's on YouTube. Just watch it. It's hilarious. They got one round out before the venue got shut down. And Cassidy was spitting bars like a man with no teeth, I'll never bite my tongue. My watch icy like Siberia. What else did he say? My rock's yellow like the bumblebee on the Cheerios box.
Please get Papoose in this?
Yo. Well, let me tell you. So they rematched today, or they rematched yesterday, and the video came out like late last night. Turnaround was quick. And the large general consensus is that Cassidy won.
Okay.
And that's crazy. Cause he did. Like, it's like, let me think of a good analogy. It's like whiffing, it's like a 21-year-old whiffing a T-ball several times. Like, Cassidy was prepared. He was in. He gave himself up to the moment. Unlike Joe Budden, who was kind of too cool for it, he was prepared. He was aggressive. He did have some lines that hit that were good lines, but Disaster should have been able to beat him. And Disaster just completely fumbled and fluttered it up. And Cassidy won. It's crazy, crazy. What's the last rap battle you watched, Doc? Was it the Blaze battle with like Idea and Shells? Shahid the poster boy on 106 in Park?
That might be it. I really just don't pay attention to battling at all.
Gotcha. My name is Poster. Go ahead and make the call, Doc. Go ahead and
once
go
again. This is our monthly call. If anybody has, you know, at this point, if you have any version of the Jurassic Harlem remix,
yes,
please.
Please.
Holla at your boy.
Please. Woo! I need to rap over that beat, like, just cuz.
The original?
Yeah.
Why not? You know, could be a good time, and, you know, next year, got Jurassic World coming out.
Oh, say word. That's right. Yeah, I could do that. I would like to get Shahid the poster boy on the record, though. I'm serious. I'm sure he's available. So, like... Yeah, let's do it. Let's make some phone calls.
Let's make some phone calls.
My name is Poster. Yeah. Get Papoose. I would actually like to see Papoose battle just for the sheer hilarity of it. Because everything Papoose does is funny.
That's true.
The name itself, Papoose, is hilarious.
Well.
And his what's his crowning moment? Shooting a rap video, getting his hair cut with a hat on?
Wouldn't it be the Hot 97 thing?
Oh, yeah, that too.
That's got to be up there.
So what did he do, Doc? Just for the people who may not have known. What did he do?
What, High 97?
Yeah.
Who was on stage? Was it Kendrick and TDE?
It was Kendrick, yeah.
Yeah, Kendrick was on stage. So this is Summer Jam 2013? Must have been. Yeah, right after Good Kid, Mad City.
Yeah, right after Good Kid, Mad City, yeah, because Kendrick was hot.
Right. And all of a sudden, who pops up on stage at the end, like with no warning?
Papoose.
What song did he perform?
Some song off his album.
Right. It was like new. He didn't even, it's not even like he went up and, because you know what? Let's be honest. Like if he goes up and they're playing like Jurassic Harlem, like that NYC crowd's probably going crazy.
Yeah. But he's not going to do that. He's going to perform his own record.
Right.
He's going to perform a new record. Like, this isn't Jay-Z performing H to the Izzo at the BET Awards. Like, perform your best record, Papoose, because nobody knows who you are. Well, everybody knows who you are, but nobody knows who you are.
Right. But then he turned that into like an ongoing dialogue with Hot 97, right?
Yeah, yeah. He trolled the situation. Yep.
I would say he made the best of a situation.
I think he did too.
And it really goes back to a long-standing relationship that what K-Slay and TDE have, right?
Mm-hmm.
World is funny, man. World is funny.
And then Papoose later gets upset because Kendrick didn't put his name in the control verse and disses him on a control verse and basically burns the bridge of the relationship.
I forgot about that. Yeah. That control verse really had people messed up.
It really did.
Showing, once again, the worst thing you can do to a rapper is not talk about them.
Oh my God.
Speaking of Kendrick.
Yeah.
I'll spend like 2 seconds talking about this. There's a rumored Kendrick track list floating around in the form of a picture. What looks like the back of a CD cover online.
How does it look?
Well, it looks not finished. Either that or Kendrick's going for a like 19th vibe.
That's a 90s word.
Vibe, right? whoever put that up, either Kendrick's doing a surprise release a la Beyonce, like in the next 2 weeks, or the cover's a fake, because if you look in the lower corner, it says Interscope Records 2014. So
anybody can get the file.
What do you mean anybody can get the file?
Anybody can get like the Interscope Records logo and
what I'm saying is the text beneath it says like, you know, copyright 2014, like that, you know, our, you know, labels don't waste time putting together hypothetical covers. Like, when it's ready, it's ready, and that's when it actually like gets out there and stuff like that. Like, it wouldn't say if it's a 2014, that means it's actually coming out in 2014. So unless he's got a surprise, that's not the real track list. Now, yeah, it's heavily informed, but it's not 100% informed. Like, yeah, he has been in the studio with, who did you point out was on that track listing that was in?
George Clinton.
He's been in the studio with George Clinton, but I don't think it's any accident that right after that came out, Punch from TDE tweets out two song titles that are not on that track list. So, try again.
Yeah.
People really want this Kendrick album. I mean, I guess that's what that says.
Yeah.
Trying to think, yeah, the last time we saw like that level of like fakeness for a track list. Like,
I was not say, like, God Forgives I Don't, which turned out to be the real track list.
Right.
There was a fake J. Cole track list.
Oh, you're right. But that wasn't, it didn't take the form of like a back hypothetical CD cover.
It was like a,
that's the level this is at.
Yeah, it was like a screenshot of the Notes app or something like that.
Right. That's no. I mean, I'll give this person credit. Like, you know, they put effort into it, but no.
Jesus.
That's
thirsty. Like, how?
It's thirsty. People want it, because you know what? It's been an interesting year, and I'm being polite.
People want some music.
Yeah, and it's funny because when you look at these Grammy nominations, the rap categories are. Let's talk about these real quick, because we're going to talk about J. Cole later, but he sort of, you know, we can loop this in, but in one of his verses, he talks about how, you know, he knows he'll be sitting there at the Grammys while Iggy is getting an award.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the verse has other context, which I want to talk about, but I mean, I don't think anybody's surprised that that Iggy Azalea is going to be nominated for a lot of categories, right? She's had two hits, huge smash hits of her own. Plus, she's on other people's hits. So,
what's the other one besides Fancy?
Black Widow.
We always talk about that. That's her record and not Rita's, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
So the best rap albums. Have you looked at this before now?
Yeah, I glanced. I don't really pay attention to the Grammys because, I mean, it's the Grammys. Like, as an artist, of course, if I ever get nominated for a Grammy, that would be amazing, and I'd be there knowing I'm going to lose. I'd absolutely go. But as a fan, like, this is just not going to be a representation of the music that I listen to. So I don't give him much credit.
Well, so here's who's nominated for Best Rap Album.
Yeah.
Iggy Azalea.
Yeah.
Childish Gambino.
Yeah.
Common.
Yep.
Eminem.
Yep.
Schoolboy Q.
Yep.
And Wiz Khalifa.
You know what this looks like?
Well, I'm interested, but go ahead.
The BET Hip Hop Awards, mm-hmm. when they do like the best female MC category,
uh-huh.
they nominate Nicki Minaj and then like the five most random people. Like they nominate like Nicki D, MC Light, Lady of Rage, Bahamadia, like people who aren't even actively rapping anymore gets nominated just so they can give Nicki an award. That's what this looks like.
Well, who do you think gets the award here then? Well, let me say that.
I don't want to subscribe to this idea that Nicki's going to have, or Nicki, that somebody called her Igloo Australia.
Oh my God, that's great.
I'm not going to subscribe to this idea that Iggy is just going to have this crazy good night at the Grammys. She's going to perform and she'll probably get like a pop award, but I don't see her getting a rap out of this. Gets that for sure. It's not Wiz. It's not Q. It's not Common.
Hmm. Yeah. So when I saw this first thing, a couple things popped in my head. So Eminem and Common are both, they are at a level of mainstream awareness where if they put out an album and it's a weak year like this, they're just going to get nominated.
Absolutely. Common's the copy. Common. Jesus. Common is like the, it's the good deed vote. It's the help deed. The old lady across the street vote. Like, well, we voted for Common because he's safe to a lot of people. Which is crazy.
Childish and Schoolboy, I'm not mad at. Considering the last 12 months, I'm not mad at those two. That Wiz album.
But
you absolutely. Know what it is? It's because I forget. I always forget until I go to a UConn game. I forget how big Weedem Boys was. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. It's tailor made for every sports event ever. So you forget how big that song was. And I think that's one of those cases where if someone, a relatively well-known rapper is nominated for best like rap song and stuff like that, like it just ends up getting in there, I have no idea who went, but I'll say this much. So so last year at the Grammys, the big story was, Macklemore wins over Kendrick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if Iggy Azalea wins Best Rap Album?
Oh man, I'm just gonna stay off Twitter. Like the fake outrage is gonna be like on 10.
Right. But let's talk about some of these other categories because they're kind of interesting. Best Rap Song.
Yeah.
Anaconda.
Oh God. Yep.
Bound 2.
Yeah.
Kendrick with I.
I just thought about Kanye's performance Bound on Jimmy Fallon.
Great.
With Charlie Wilson's Shabba Dabba Dwee Dwee Dwee. Anyway, I.
Yeah, so Kendrick with I, Wiz with Weedem Boys, and 0 to 100.
A SoundCloud free download.
Well, that actually ended up in iTunes. I mean.
It did, but.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the real. Well, we get to Best Rap Song Collaboration. That's where I nearly fell out of my chair. But.
Whoa!
That's what I'm saying. We're gonna get there in a second.
I should have put out an album this year. And everybody's gonna drop next year.
Considering the year, I mean, I don't understand how Bound 2 gets nominated, but I guess it was technically released as a single.
Yeah, it was released as a single this year.
Yeah, later on. I have no idea who wins that category.
I wouldn't be surprised they gave it to Kendrick for the Sorry About the Macklemore thing.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I've seen that. They pull a Source Awards. They pull a Bun B. They pull a Trill.
Well, there's a very similar list for Best Rap Performance, but we'll get there in a sec because we need to talk about this rap song collaboration category.
Do we?
So, Common with your girl, Janae.
Yeah.
Eminem and Rihanna, Monster, which that's going to be difficult to beat.
Yeah, that's I'm thinking that's the Runaway.
My man, I Love Mac featuring Drake. Tuesday, a SoundCloud leak. A random Drake hopped on a remix is nominated for a Grammy.
I don't think Drake just randomly hopped on that joint.
He did.
I just don't believe that because Mac had like several expensive indie driven video. I think he had like a label behind him.
No. So I mean Sunny Digital and what's his name?
Metro Boomin?
Yeah, they do all his stuff. Like they
Yeah, but I mean I guess that means he could have like some sort of weight
with two producers who have that kind of weight in Atlanta, put their weight behind somebody. Like, there's more going on than just, oh, we found this kid and we like him. Because has anybody ever heard him rap? Nobody said that. There's something else happening here.
Tuesday, cuz, like, there were no other rap song collaborations. None.
Here's the deal. Tuesday is actually pretty great.
No, it's not.
It is.
No, it's not. It's not even like, it's not I'm in love with the Coco. That's great. This Tuesday? Nah, cuz I can't.
I would rather listen to Tuesday than Studio.
Yeah, I don't like, but we're in the minority. People love Studio.
I, generally speaking, hate songs about, I hate rap.
Right.
I'm in the studio. Well, congratulations.
Well, I mean, okay, listen. I'll say this, though. I have been in a nighttime establishment when this song was played. It was a club. It was not a strip club, for those of y'all listening. Don't, whatever. It was a club. And the women definitely responded to this record.
I don't care.
No. I know you don't care. I know you don't care because you're married and you're happy and you got Netflix and NBA League Pass and all that stuff. So you're but, you know, for them ones out there that's still searching for that special girl, you know what I'm saying? Like, Studio helped them out. But I agree, though. I hate songs like, because there's another song that's nominated. I believe it's nominated for Best Song. And it's a song about music. I hate songs about music.
Oh, yeah. So Bound 2, Studio, Tuesday, The Monster, and Black Magic. Those are Best Rap Song. I would just be so ecstatic if I Love Mac and got to go up on stage for this. That would be...
And I hope one of Choi Av's goons punches him in the face.
I hope he brings a mannequin head. I hope he freaks out every white person in America. I'm super excited for this possibility.
A mannequin head like Al Snow?
Have you seen the Tuesday video?
Not enough of it. I saw like a piece of it. Like, I'm not going to... Dog, listen. I keep telling y'all, man. Like, I don't watch stuff like even Clock Radio Speakers. This is to the point now where you'd be like, have you heard this? And I'd be like, nope. No. I'm not spending my time watching the Mackinan video for Tuesday. It's just not going to happen. So there's mannequins in the video?
Mannequin heads.
Like Al Snow.
A little bit.
Jesus. See, rap is wrestling, man. Rap is wrestling, man.
And best rap performance.
Yeah.
Lecrae.
Yeah.
All I Need Is You.
Yeah.
Kendrick Lamar with Is he at the stage already where if he puts something out, it's just going to get nominated?
People like that song, man. That song is very, it's very love-hate, but the people who love it, love it.
Eminem Rap God, which is just, you know.
That's crazy.
Well.
I guess rap performance.
Yeah,
like,
they took that a little too literally.
They did.
0 to 100. So, you know, Drake has 3 nominations off SoundCloud leaks, which, I mean, everybody else might as well just give up.
I mean, like, I think this is a great rap performance.
When he goes up, if he gets an award for any of these, he needs to say, I'd like to thank the people at SoundCloud.
He absolutely does. He absolutely does. But yeah, that's a good rap performance song. It is lyrical without being rappity rap. It's catchy lyrical. That's a good performance. So I'm not mad at that.
Once again, we have the weird split between... So for on R&B songs, there's traditional R&B performance and then there's best R&B performance.
Uh-huh.
But then for the songs, for the albums, there's best urban contemporary album and best R&B album. So urban contemporary album, obviously you get like, you know, Pharrell.
Black people who do pop music, pretty much.
Pharrell, like, Chris Brown, Beyonce, Janae, Miley Music.
Yep.
The best R&B album is like, you know, wait, Toni Braxton and Babyface made a record this year?
They did.
Huh.
Never heard it, but they did. There was a song on the... There's a song on the radio that I heard. I don't know if it was good or not.
Black Radio 2 gets a nod?
Nah, Black Radio 2 wasn't that good.
Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings? All right. This is...
Who is that?
You know who Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings are?
No, I don't.
They make music that sounds like 70s R&B. That's all they do.
That's why they're nominated.
Right.
Of course, Allo Black. Like, the Grammys love him.
Right. Listen,
who's Bernhoff?
Yeah,
sounds like
know.
A WCW wrestler, like
Bernhoff.
Coming to the ring, Bernhoff.
All right,
like Mr. Fuji manages him.
Mr. Fuji. We can sort of skim through some of these other, some of this other stuff. Obviously, Beyonce picks up a bunch of nominations.
She's the leader, right? She got 6.
Yeah, you know, I will say this. I actually think she actually didn't get enough.
Yeah, she killed this year. She had a great year. She had a dope album.
Well, I'm really just trying to understand how... I'm going to bypass R&B stuff because to me, the record and the song of the year are really fascinating. So album of the year, for people who listen to this show, the only people you really probably care about, Pharrell gets nominated for Girl, which is just no.
Nah,
up Pharrell.
Yeah.
Wear the hat. We like you. But Beyonce, I can't imagine Beyonce not winning album of the year, but yeah. You know, we'll see. Really fascinating to me, did you want to say something? I'm sorry.
I'm going through right now to try and find album of the year. Who else is on there?
Beck, Ed Sheeran, Sam Smith.
Beck came out with an album this year?
Right. there's a big name artist who could have been slid up in that sort of, you know, we like you because you've done stuff before slot. Like Arcade Fire got like a random nomination, but they didn't get nominated for album of the year. I don't really see a lot of Lana Del Rey on here, and I thought that she might get more love.
Sam Smith is going to kill this year.
He will. But here's what I thought was super interesting. So we talked, I think when we talked about the AMAs, we sort of joked and we were like, you know, there's the Billboard Awards. A step above that is the AMAs. But then the one that people really care about are the Grammys.
Uh-huh.
If you look at this list of Record of the Year and Song of the Year,
uh-huh.
you could have fooled me and just told me this was the Billboard songs and Records of the Year. Like, this has got to be the most, like, Billboard top whatever list of Record and Song of the Year I can really recall. Like, you're really telling me that All About the Bass?
That's the song. It's a song about music. Why? No.
No, it's not about that, actually. You know that. Have you heard it?
I've heard enough of it to know, this is about music, and then just like,
no.
I'm not, oh, is it a song about like sexual intercourse? Is that what it's about?
A song about girls having booty.
Oh, word?
Yeah, so it's a musical metaphor. I'm giving the song way too much credit. Okay,
so
it's awful.
How does All About the Bass, No Trouble relate to girls with large posteriors?
Because bass is low end. We're going back to Tribe, like low end, you know.
Man, all right, I'm good. I'm good.
But anyway, like,
I'm actually I'm mad that I didn't catch that.
She's throwing double entendres at you,
man. And one of my favorite albums is Reasonable Doubt, and I have just completely missed on the double entendre. That's fine. I'll take that. Sorry, Megan Trainor.
But yeah, like Taylor Swift, Iggy Azalea, Megan Trainor. Like, these are not. This is a very atypical Record and Song of the Year. List. Like, these all are, every single one of these songs is a huge hit.
Mm-hmm.
In years past, you'd get, you know, something that might have been kind of popular, but has a really big name attached to it. This year is just outright, like, here's what was on the radio 24/7. I'm actually really surprised. So, and let me clear the stuff up for people, because I like to say this every year because people kind of forget. So, Song of the Year is about the songwriting. And then Record of the Year is about the actual song. So you're telling me that All About the Bass is nominated for songwriting?
Like, yeah, double entendre. She got me.
How about that Taylor Swift, Shake It Off? No?
Who?
Oh, yeah, right. She does not get the who.
Oh, I hooed her. Oh, she got hooed.
Right. And then, yeah, I looked at this list and I was actually really surprised that Beyonce did not get a Record or Song of the Year nominee.
Yeah.
Yeah,
at least for, God, EXO or something pop?
Drunken Love. Right. That's all right. I'm pretty sure she's getting album. If she doesn't get album of the year, that'd be a huge... I mean, it's got to be her or Sam Smith?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Sam Smith is going to get it.
You think so? Yeah. That would be astonishing. I think he's going to get a lot of awards. He'll probably get Best New Artist. He'll probably get one of the Record or Song of the Years. But considering that, you know, like Best Pop Solo, like Beyonce's nowhere in there. Like, I'd really be shocked if, considering the year Beyonce had, if she walked away with only R&B awards and not like a something of the year award. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be pretty surprising.
Yeah.
One last thing. Just to show you how weird and messed up the Grammys are. So, there's this whole notion of like best rap sung collaboration, right? Uh-huh. And then let me make sure I get these, because there's all these different ways that they sort of try to categorize. Wait, is there another one? sworn there was a category where it was like, no, maybe I'm wrong. All right, never mind. Well, either way, this just really kind of made me laugh. So there's like best pop duo group performance, and they put Iggy Azalea in there. Okay, maybe she's pop. They've got Katy Perry featuring Juicy J.
Yeah.
Under pop duo group?
Where's it going to be at? R&B? Hip hop?
It's a girl singing over a trap record with a Juicy J verse. What would you call it?
Pop.
Apparently in 2014, right?
Hip hop is popular music.
I guess. Anything else you want to say about the Grammys?
Nope.
All right. Before we get to J. Cole, did you hear at all about this Wu-Tang video?
No, after the show we had last week, I completely like.
So the you know they put out a video for A Better Tomorrow, and it's a clip montage of footage from protests about Mike Brown and Eric Garner.
Okay,
so it got a little bit of, you know, a little bit of noise online, and I watched it, and then, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of put it on mute. Like it would work better if it was a good song. Like, it's really such a bad song that it's really, you know, it's hard to actually watch the clip. Yeah, it actually takes away from the message. But I didn't know if you'd seen it. I was going to ask your opinion, but you didn't see it, so that's all good. Did we talk about Nikki on SNL?
No, we didn't.
All right, let's talk about her. Wow, we're already like 45 minutes in. All right, let's talk about her real quick then.
Yeah.
So she did, what, three performances? Is that right?
Nah, she did two, but the last one that she did was two songs.
Right.
She did Only, and then she did a new record.
Yep. And then she also did the Better Lives record.
Yeah.
How do you feel? Did you watch it?
Or
you saw it after the fact, maybe?
Yeah, I saw pieces of it. I was watching the Cassidy battle. So
you're gonna need a spinoff show pretty soon.
Just rap battles, yeah. Rap battles and wrestling. It's coming. Yeah, so I saw it, but I didn't see it.
I was pretty unimpressed.
I mean, it's funny, like the new song, like she looked really, really uncomfortable. She looked really uncomfortable. She also looked uncomfortable. I guess just the whole second performance period. Only was not the best song to perform live because of how vulgar it is. Like,
well, I actually just don't think that beat really carries. That's not it. So it sounded really flat on stage. Like, it just didn't work.
Okay. Excuse me. I'm sorry. There we go. But yeah, the second song, she just, I think it's called All Things Go. I've heard that's the intro to her album, and it just looked uncomfortable. It looked like she did it just so she could do the thirst trap when she turned around. Told you she's gonna be naked by the end of next year.
They have really pulled out all the stops for her album.
All the stops, cause like, yeah,
tons of
her albums coming out. They've done a lot.
unlike Wayne.
Unlike Wayne, who has officially announced that he wants off of Cash Money on Twitter and on stage.
Yeah, I saw it on stage. I'm trying to figure that out. At this point, if you're Cash Money, if this is his last album, I guess you want to maintain that control. But don't you almost kind of want to take advantage? Because people are really, you know, people actually don't realize that if Cash Money were to, you know, if Baby says fine, whatever, and they get it out in time for Christmas, like, people will buy it and Baby's going to make a lot of money. Like, people will think that they're supporting Wayne and they're really not.
I just think that people are really, I think that Birdman is really convinced that he doesn't need Wayne anymore because he's got Young Thug.
I mean, that's kind of insane, but Wayne didn't really have any buzz with this album anyway.
He didn't, but I think Wayne has enough fan base to put the record out and like have it carry, where Wayne doesn't need a single.
Well,
like, he needs a single, but he doesn't need a single to put an album out.
It sure looks like he does.
I mean, according to them, it does, yes. But I think Wayne is established. And you know what? I'll say this. Because this is me being optimistic about Wayne. The optimistic is that Wayne has enough of a consistent fan base to put an album out. And then, you know, the second, third, and fourth single is what makes the record last. Because that's what the few other records have done. The second part is Wayne has just oversaturated himself so much that, like, his public persona will never be turned around, because we can say all day that Wayne has been rapping this year. Like, Wayne could be spitting Squad Wayne stuff, Dedication 1 Wayne stuff, and nobody's ever going to like listen to it for that. They're going to assume that Wayne is, you know, exhausted Carter 3 Wayne, and that's just going to be it, like, forever. So I don't even know if he can put out another album, especially on the Cash Money. Like, he might have to do something different.
I tell you, I'm actually surprised that... I wonder if at some point they'll be tempted to leak the album.
I wouldn't be surprised if Wayne did, like...
puts it all out as a mixtape, or half of it as a mixtape or something?
Something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if Wayne gets off Cash Money, puts all the stuff out, and then is like, yeah, I'm putting out a yada, 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 yada. Like, I wouldn't be surprised.
Right, but I don't know. To me, like, who's going to... I don't know. Wayne would... I think there's probably a gap between how Wayne perceives himself and what the numbers that he's really going to do in 2014.
Mm.
In 2014, he's not really making hits. He has a serious fan base. Cannot deny that. But I don't think... I mean, it's like there was no buzz. There was nothing going on with this album.
That
like,
sucks.
Maybe you don't need a huge hit single, but people need to... there needs to be a reason for people to care.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just Cash Money. They didn't put anything into it because they didn't think it was really ever going to come out. Maybe they're just used to not having to do that with Wayne because he has a big enough song that people care. I don't know. But we could tell before the tweets, like, there was warning signs. Like, it didn't feel like this was coming out.
It didn't. And we even talked about that. Like, is this even coming out?
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
But I wonder if he'll be, you know, if it'll be a situation where he'll feel like he deserves a really robust deal from whatever label he goes to next.
On some T.I. stuff?
But that's the market's just not there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could he go indie?
I don't think he's been in the major label system for 17 years?
Yeah. The only time I seen him do any sort of independent hustle was when Cash Money was faltering and he was doing those Squad mixtapes, and that was, you know, that's 2003, so that's passing your mixtapes out, you know, at Memorial Day weekend parties or whatever.
Yeah, that I feel like that's, that was just like, a different era.
Yeah, it's a totally different era. Like, I don't know, that's what I'm saying, like, because Wayne is a studio rat, so if you need music, yeah, but like,
they need hits though.
The Machine,
I mean, I don't blame them for not putting the album out, frankly.
Like, how do we know he doesn't have hits though? Just because the records he put out?
Because they would have tried. They would have been putting like stuff out to see, is this going to stick? Like, no one's talking. If you have an album that nobody's talking about, then you don't hold back. You don't say, oh, that's cool, we have three smashes we're waiting to put out. Well, you better get one of them out. No one's going to buy the album.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, you know, that's like saying, we got this really great movie, we made this really awful trailer, but it's okay because it's going to have strong word of mouth. Why don't you make a better trailer? Like, For an artist like Wayne, that matters.
Yeah.
There's too much money involved.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to, like, when's the last, I mean, you know, for the last couple of years, it's basically like, what's his Drake song?
Yep. What was the last hit? The last hit was what? She Will and How to Love?
Was How to Love really a hit? My goodness. Well, Believe Me did okay.
Did okay. Oh, yeah, but that's a Drake record.
Right. She Will, Drake record. I mean, Women Love Me. I'll just say Love Me.
Oh, that's another Wayne. Well, that's Wayne and Future.
Uh-huh. I'm Drake and Future, you mean?
Well, I mean, Drake was on the hook, though.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
So, yeah, so not only do you have a Drake stimulus package, you also have a Future stimulus package, too.
The Drake stimulus package.
Yeah.
I think I got a title. That's good. I would say this, like, if some of the music's really good, then he's got to go on the offensive and get something out there.
Yeah.
I can't say I saw this coming. Like, at this point, like, he's been with Cash Money for so long. I don't know. It's almost like, you know, he got sober one day and realized, wow, I'm not getting paid anything. I'm not sure. There's definitely a VH1 Behind the Music in his future.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think this resolves in any sort of way, or is this going to be going on for a while?
This got to be going on for a while, because this has been going on forever. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no difference between, you know, why Juvie and Manny Fresh and all them got off, and probably what Baby was doing to Wayne. Like, this has always happened.
Right.
So, you know, like, he's probably, if he's going to lawyer up, he's going to try and get stuff back from the BG's days when it was him and BG in a group. Right. You know, like back to the mid-90s. So I think this will probably be a little ugly.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.